Radio Corporation of America presents The Magic Key. Again, the magic key of RCA turns. The RCA family, including RCA Communications, RCA Victor, RCA Radiotron, Radio Marine, RCA Institutes, and the National Broadcasting Company, all join in presenting Beatrice Lilly, the leading English comedian and Victor recording artist, Jan Garber with his popular dance band, and Jessica Dragonette, the newly elected queen of radio. Today is Navy Day, and later in the hour, the Radio Corporation of America has the honor of giving part of its time to the United States Navy for their salute to the American people, at which time naval stations in the continental limits of the United States, stations offshore and the ships of the fleet, join the Assistant Secretary of the Navy, Colonel Henry L. Roosevelt, and Rear Admiral Joseph K. Tossig, Assistant Chief of Naval Operations, in their greetings to the American people in observance of Navy Day. Now, Frank Black, Director of Music for the National Broadcasting Company, leads the NBC Symphony Orchestra in Dance of the Comedians from The Bartered Bride by Smetana.
Thank you.
In a national popularity poll a few weeks ago, dainty Jessica Dragonette was awarded the title of Queen of Radio. She has been an outstanding radio soprano for 8 years. She sings Meditation from Thais. RCA Victor Record Library, there are many popular bands, and probably none better liked or more distinctive in style than Jan Garber. He's playing this season at the Trianon in Chicago. He is ready with two of his arrangements recently recorded for RCA Victor, Accent on Youth, with Lee Bennett singing the vocal, to be followed by 24 Hours a Day, sung by Fritz. The Magic Key turns to Chicago and Jan Garber. Thank you.
blush in spring, while the birds beginning to fly and sing. Why have I this new sensation? It's the accent on you. Why do I long for kisses so fresh and sweet? Here in your arms, the picture is so complete. It really needs no explanation, for it's the accent on you. You are tempting, you're divine. You're like intoxicating wine. And I'm yours, you are mine, with thrills untold. How can we grow old? What makes this night resemble the blushing dawn? What brings us here, confessing that love is born? Though we call it inspiration, it's just the accent on you.
Music box with just one tune to play. My heart keeps singing, I love you 24 hours a day. Like a little old-fashioned music box that skips a note or two. My heart keeps missing a heartbeat, singing its song about you. And although the song we know is old, it's still the sweetest story ever told. Buy a little old-fashioned music box with just one tune to play. For my heart singing, I love you 24 hours a day.
Magic Key turns to New York.
He wanted to be a tragedian, but couldn't muster up enough seriousness. So now we find her the world's most popular comedian. On Broadway today, A Blaze of Light tells that she is playing the lead in one of the hit musical comedies of the season, At Home Abroad. Ladies and gentlemen, the RCA Victor recording artist and our NBC star, Beatrice Lilly.
Good afternoon, everyone. My first little tidbit is a little gem entitled Baby Doesn't Know Much. Thank you. I'm just a girl that men will take about and then wonder if there's anything to it. Though I often find, if I speak my mind, very quickly they begin to rue it. Now I've found a different card to play. Every time I look at them, I say, baby doesn't know, baby doesn't care, baby doesn't wonder why, baby doesn't dare. Men will give me rings and diamonds galore. I just simply take them, but I don't know what they're for. Mother never told me anything. She said use discretion. I asked the gentleman next door. He gave me a lesson. Something that he missed did excite him so.
And what is it he didn't get?
No. Baby doesn't know. I find it quite unique to be demure and meek. Modern girls are always so fretful. Things I ought to know were not taught me so. Mumsy must have been a bit forgetful. When men start to try and put me wise, I just look at them with open eyes. Baby doesn't know. She'd burst into tears if you ever told her that she'd been 16 for years. Yes. If a man one knows tries a kiss to snatch, why should he assume I want an all-in wrestling match? Some men who ride in taxicabs start behaving queerly. I say, no funny business, please. Not for your sincerely. People say that men want a quid pro quo.
And what is that the Latin for?
You killed me. Baby doesn't know. Now this next little soup song, as I laughingly call it, is entitled A Baby's Best Friend is Its Mother, written by Rogers and Hart, who shall be nameless. Thanks, Sam. A baby can only have one mother. It never belongs to no other. Baby smiles and baby's tears keep on smiling through the years. When baby's tired and baby's blue and baby's hungry, its mother is true. Sleep on, mother's watching you. Sleep on, soft and low. Hush, hush, close your eyes of blue. Lullaby, to sleep you'll go. You can have another pal, another lover. But a baby can only have one mother. When you're tired and all alone and a million miles from a home, a baby's best friend is its mother. She was only a woman, and the world called her bad. No, but she was only a human who was beaten and sad. The courtroom was crowded and they jeered at her shame. But a man should have gotten the stain and the blame. Next case, cried the clerk. And she stood on the stand with a tear in her eye and 14 handkerchiefs in her hand. This woman is wicked, the district attorney cried. And no lawyer to help her stood close to her side. I am innocent, sir, she replied to the judge. And a tear down her face melted. Her face was a smudge. I believe you, said the judge, and I'll give you a chance. Oh, sir, cried the girl, I am now in a trance. Why do you help me? I am beaten and sad. Then the judge removed his wig and the mustache he had. Don't you recognize me? Come, look in my eye. Come on now, look. Coo, it's my mother. The woman replied, when you're sad and all alone and a million miles from home, a baby's best friend is his mother.
Miss Lily, we are delighted to have had you with us this afternoon as a representative of a member of the RCA family, RCA Victor. Your high-fidelity Victor records are fine examples of the service the various members of the RCA family try to give. RCA Communications serves through instantaneous radio telegraph contact. Radio Marine speedily relays messages from shores to ships. Better radio reception is supplied through the new 1936 RCA Victor Magic Brain Radio with the magic eye and metal tubes. And all of these services and products are made possible by RCA micro-sensitive radio tubes. Frank Black leads the NBC Symphony Orchestra in Chardosh from Coppelia by Delibes. Charming little queen of radio returns, this time in one of her most popular numbers. She is supported by the NBC chorus in singing Velia, Miss Jessica Dragonette.
He loved and he longed for this magical maid. Oh, a sudden tremor ran right through the love bewildered man, and he cried as a hapless
Magic Key of RCA is turning. Navy Day was inaugurated in 1922 by the Navy League of the United States, and its observance annually is sponsored by the League. In addition to paying a deserved tribute to the sea heroes of the nation and recalling the splendid part played in making and keeping us a nation, the Navy Day observance has proved a valuable means of fostering a broader understanding of the Navy and its work. The date of October 27th was selected by the Navy League because it is the anniversary of the birth of President Theodore Roosevelt, inasmuch as most of his life was devoted to establishing sound naval policy for the United States of America. At the request of the Navy League, RCA will now turn a part of the time of the Magic Key Hour over to the Navy for their annual salutation. Assistant Secretary of the Navy, Colonel Henry L. Roosevelt, will be heard first. You'll be interested in knowing that Colonel Roosevelt was appointed to the Naval Academy in 1896 and became an officer in the Marine Corps in 1899. He has served in the Marine Expeditionary Activities in all parts of the world on continuous active service for over 20 years. The Navy program to follow in a moment will be conducted from the Navy Department in Washington, D.C. It is my honor and privilege now to introduce the Assistant Secretary of the United States Navy, Colonel Henry L. Roosevelt, speaking from the Navy Department in Washington, D.C.
It is a privilege, ladies and gentlemen, to address you this afternoon on our 14th Navy Day. Today, the 27th of October, is officially Navy Day, but because it falls on Sunday, observance is postponed until tomorrow. On behalf of the Naval Service, I want to send greetings to the American people, and in the name of the United States Navy, to salute you. Tomorrow, our ships, our shore stations at home and abroad, in observing Navy Day, most cordially invite you to be our guests. We would like to have you see and know the Navy. It is your Navy. I do not hesitate to declare our fleet in its loyalty, its devotion, and its efficiency is in all respects as fine a force as has ever been assembled under the American flag. I am going to ask Lieutenant Commander Wheeler, supervisor of our naval shore radio traffic, to call the roll of the naval districts in the United States that will hold open house tomorrow. Their call letters will express their welcome.
Aye, aye, sir. As I call all naval districts along the Atlantic coast, the Gulf of Mexico, the Great Lakes, and the Pacific coast, will you please answer by radio in Morse code with just your call letters. Place, Boston. New York. Philadelphia. Hampton Roads. Charleston. Key West. Pensacola. Great Lakes. San Diego. San Francisco. Seattle. All naval districts in the United States have reported, Mr. Secretary.
Very good. Now we'll turn to our Assistant Chief of Naval Operations, Admiral Joseph K. Taussig. During the World War, he was in command of the 1st Division of American destroyers to reach the war zone. It was a historical event. It was the first time an American commander ever reported for duty to a foreign admiral. Admiral Sir Lewis Bailey, commanding British forces, expecting the Americans to need repairs and refitting, sent Taussig the message reading, "How long will it take you to get ready for active duty?" Admiral Taussig's reply was true to the tradition of our Navy. His answer was, "We are ready now, sir." On Navy Day, 1935, the Navy is still ready. Admiral Taussig.
The Chief of Naval Operations is charged with the operations of the fleet and preparation and readiness of plans for its use in war. Therefore, it is most gratifying on this Navy Day to find our citizens turning their scrutiny upon our naval establishment, our first line of defense. It is most important in a government dictated by public opinion that the people know the facts concerning the protection offered their country. Our government has recently effected a policy of building our Navy to the full strength permitted by the treaties of Washington and London. The necessity for construction is evident when the naval construction of other powers acting under the Limitation of Armament Treaty since February 6, 1922 is observed. Japan has built or laid down 163 ships with a tonnage of 412,000. Italy, 175 ships with a tonnage totaling 377,000. France, 177 ships with tonnage running to 490,000. While England has built or laid down 174 new ships with tonnage running over 525,000, the United States has lagged. In the last 13 years, we have only built or laid down 70 ships of 299,000 tons total, far less than any other major power. Also, one important fact that must be considered. Out of the 342 ships in the United States Navy today, only 91 are under age, or in other words, modern. It would be too expensive to bring our Navy to treaty strength immediately. So a substantial 7-year building plan has been decided on, which will bring the United States Navy to its proper relative position. But even with our recent increased building rate, it will not be until 1942 that the United States will have a treaty navy, and that is 6 years after the treaties expire. Now I want to call on Admiral Joseph M. Reeves, Commander-in-Chief of the United States Fleet on the flagship Pennsylvania, at present in Los Angeles Harbor. Good afternoon, Admiral Reeves.
How do you do, Admiral Tarsey?
Admiral, will you please extend the fleet's invitation to the American people and give the general distribution of the fleet for Navy Day?
As Commander-in-Chief of the United States Fleet, I have the pleasure of extending to you, the people of America, the greetings of the fleet, and the most cordial invitation to visit the various vessels which today and tomorrow are lying in the seaports of the United States. You will find the officers and men waiting to welcome you. To those citizens throughout the country who may never have visited the Navy afloat, I wish to extend a special greeting and to assure you that we deeply appreciate the honor and the responsibility of being entrusted with the nation's first line of defense.
Thank you, Admiral. The United States Navy is in constant communication with all its ships and shore stations throughout the world by the magic of radio. All stations maintain 24-hour watch. These far-flung naval stations will now, as I call them by radio, respond with a few words of greeting to the American people. Their messages will be heard on the air, and I will ask Lieutenant Commander Wheeler to translate those which come in Morse code. First, let me call on our naval station in the South Pacific Islands, Samoa. Hello, NPU, Samoa. Come in, Captain Dowling.
Commandant, Samoa, South Seas, Sands, Navy Day, greetings. To homeland.
Thank you, Samoa. Now the U.S. Navy in the Western Pacific, on the little island of Guam. Hello, NPN, Guam. What are you doing on Navy Day? Come in, Captain Alexander.
Holding. Open house. Ships and stations. All Guam. On parade. Luncheon and athletics.
Now by radio telephone, we'll hear from the Philippines. Are you there, Captain Marcos?
Yes, we are here in Manila, Admiral Tarsey. And it is now early Sunday morning. As you know, we are on the other side of the international date line, and though it may be Sunday afternoon, bright sunshine for you in Washington, it is 17 minutes to 4 o'clock in the morning of Monday, and the dawn is just climbing out of the Pacific.
Yes, Captain Morcott, will you tell us about your observance of Navy Day? Too complicated, and I hope you will have a very fine Navy Day celebration. Thank you very much, Captain Marquardt. Now let us talk by radio telephone to the Hawaiian Islands and to Admiral Harry E. Yarnell, Commandant of the 14th Naval District, who will speak from Honolulu. Hello. Hello, Admiral Yarnell.
Yes. Admiral Tausig, how are you today?
We are well, and hope that your celebration tomorrow will be successful.
It is now 9:15 in the morning on Sunday here in Honolulu, and we are all ready for a celebration here tomorrow, to which we have invited all the people of the Hawaiian Islands. We send our aloha back to the people of the mainland. Our celebration will include the opening of all shore activities and ships to visitors. Special display by submarine base, air base, marine corps, and minecraft will be exhibited in Honolulu, and a masked plane flight over the island of Oahu. Programs will be broadcast from local broadcasting stations.
Thank you, Admiral Yarnell, and I know the people of the state send their greetings to their fellow citizens in the Hawaiian Islands. Now let us hear a message from the Navy station at Dutch Harbor, Alaska, upon the tip of the Aleutian Islands. Hello, NPR, Dutch Harbor, Alaska, come in.
Navy Day greetings. From personnel of your Alaskan Naval Station.
Let us hear from Rear Admiral George J. Myers, commanding the Special Service Squadron based at the Canal Zone in Panama. Come in, Admiral Myers.
Prevention of war. And the inviolability of our neutrality. Rest. On our naval strength.
Now to our station in the Caribbean, to the West Indies, Commander Charles M. Cook is in charge at the naval station at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. Come in, M.A.W. Hello, Commander Cook.
To the people of the United States, Greetings. From your Navy. And outlying stations that support it.
Since we have brought you greetings from our offshore stations, I would like now to bring you some action on an American ship. Lieutenant H.H. Henderson, captain of the USS Submarine R-13, now in New York waters, will demonstrate a crash dive. Speaking to you by way of short wave. Hello, Captain Henderson. Please execute a crash dive.
Aye, aye, sir. Break for diving.
Break for diving, sir.
Stand by to dive.
Stand by to dive, sir.
Right full rudder.
Right full rudder, sir.
From right to course 275.
From right to course 275, sir.
Ride the vent.
Ride the vent, sir.
Mercury in the bow.
Fire ahead on both motors. Pulling 1,500 amps here to side, sir. Number one, main ballast tank flooded to the manifold, sir.
Hold, David.
Number two, main ballast tank flooded to the manifold, sir.
Hold, B-vent. Mark A and B-vent. Hold, A and B-vent. Level off at 100 feet.
Level off at 100 feet, sir.
United States submarine R-13 has just demonstrated a crash dive. We're back in the Navy Department in Washington, and another branch of our service would like to salute you. Wherever you find the Navy, you will find that well-trained, colorful organization now under the command of Major General John H. Russell, the United States Marine Corps. Several thousand feet over Washington, D.C., 18 of the finest Marine pursuit ships are cruising in formation. They are known as the Hell Divers. We will now listen to the commands of their leader as he takes them through maneuvers. Come in, Major Ford O. Rogers.
Yes, Admiral Dorsett, we are now 4,000 feet over Washington and are about to go into a power dive. Form echelon of sections to the right. Form echelon of sections to the right. Loughberry of sections to the left. Loughberry of sections to the left. We will dive on target just east of the hangar, Naval Air Station Anacostia. And the division leader.
Second division, okay.
Third division, okay. Here they come, diving from several thousand feet at 300 miles an hour.
In closing this greeting from the Navy to the people of the United States, permit me to repeat the Navy's invitation to all of you listening and to your friends to be our guests tomorrow and to participate in the observance of Navy Day. You are sure to find a warm welcome wherever you find the Navy. And may I, in behalf of our ship and other naval activities, express our warm thanks to the RCA for making possible this naval salute to the American people.
You're welcome, Admiral Tossey. You have given us a striking demonstration of the readiness of the United States Navy for any duty it may be called upon to perform. We'll be with you tomorrow. The magic key of RCA has turned us back to Radio City in New York. The family of RCA goes farther than just instantaneous radio contact. It's giving better entertainment through the National Broadcasting Company, better radio reception through the new 1936 RCA Victor Magic Brain Radio with its magic eye and metal tubes. Through Victor Records, you can listen to the world's greatest